The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into Highway to Health. I am your host, David Sears. The physical fitness aspect of a healthy life is an important one. Some people try to focus on just cardio and ignore the benefits of strength training. People who regularly strength train see increased strength, burn more calories, decreased abdominal fat, and even decrease the risk of falls if you're an elderly citizen. Today, we're joined by Cody Walker, an ISSA certified personal trainer and nutritionist, as well as a tactical conditioning specialist through ISSA. Cody will help hopefully answer your questions about strength training and provide you with the knowledge to start your physical fitness journey with strength training. Good morning, Mr. Walker. How are you doing, Cody?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
That's great to have you. So what is the ISSA?
So ISSA is the International Sports Science Association. It's one of the big three bodies for personal trainers. We can get into the nuances of the differences, but it's just one of the bigger names to get certified. They really go into the science. They make sure that you get what you need to go out and help people help themselves.
So they get you into kinesiology and physiology and the way the body moves and stuff like that?
Yeah. The general aspects of it, it really gets down to just the brass tacks of it. So ISSA, the main difference in ISSA compared to, let's just say, NASM, because that's the one everyone's familiar with, which is the National Association of Sports Medicine, is it's more of like the sciencey base from what I've talked about being around other trainers. So our testing's different. Ours is all open book, but we get 4 case studies that we have to do. Whereas like NASM, you have a 100-question proctored exam to get your certification. So it's seen as more of the gold standard. Mine's more of the flexible standard. Like we get the same quality of education, except where I feel I liked ISSA better is I want to travel. I need to be able to help you in Alabama as well as I can help, you know, someone else in Europe, as well as someone else in Spain, someone else wherever they are in any path, in any socioeconomic setting.
Well, that's cool. So how long did it take for you to get your ISSA certification?
It took me about 6 months. I was doing it part-time. It is self-led. You buy the course and they give you, I want to say, a year to complete it. You can crank it out as fast as you want, but I really wanted to not be that person who just took a test and got a certification. I wanted to be someone who took the material, learned the material, and could actually apply it going right out of the textbook instead of going in there and trying to sell the dream and learning the dream with someone else.
Gotcha. So what are the benefits of someone having a personal trainer when they start out on their strength conditioning journey?
One of the biggest is just the comfort. I've always said it's easier to work out when you have someone to work out with. Not only does it keep you safe, it's someone who knows what they're doing, so you're not having to go out there and put any of the guesswork in. We can already have it ready to go for you. And just it distracts you almost, like on those heavy lifts or those days that have just been long, rough days. And you're like, man, I don't want to do this. You almost don't want to let them down, as well as we can just, even if it's just normal conversation about, hey, how was your day, while you're getting those sets out? And all of a sudden your workout flies by, you feel better, and you're done.
Well, that's cool. So the big philosophical question, what is strength training?
Oh man. You know, some days I don't even know. But the textbook answer would be any kind of training using resistance to build muscle mass and strength.
So what are the different types? Could you just do body weight? Could you do weights what are the different types of strength training?
There's so many. The main ones everyone will know will be like free weights, machines, and calisthenics for body weight. If you want to just do body weight, then you can break it down into more. If you wanted to get specific, the types of lifting, there's powerlifting, Olympic lifting, which a lot of people associate with like CrossFit and things like that. All of that is forms of strength or resistance training.
So do you, the, when you see a, when you get a client, do you like put them through an initial workout to say this type of lifting will be best for you? Or do you just kind of have a standard program you use for determining which strength training method is better for a client than others?
There are a lot of nuance. So the best part about fitness is there's a lot of nuance and a lot of adaptability. I always put someone typically through a small questionnaire. I need to know like what they're doing, if they have any injuries, you know, just I don't want to throw you out there to doing 300-pound deadlifts if you have a herniated disc in your back. That's not what we're here to do. But also a lot of it's, are you a member at a gym? Do you have any equipment available? If you do, what do you have? And we can cater it around that. If all you have is I have 20 minutes a day at work during my lunch break, cool. We're making a body weight program and maybe some resistance bands. Like we can make anything work for anybody as long as it's that resistance training.
Well, what are some of the benefits for strength training for a man?
For men specifically, just as with everybody, just general health, that strength, that functionality throughout the day. Like if you work a hard labor job, if you're working at the gym, even though you're tired, now all of a sudden your hard labor job gets a lot easier because things are easier to move, easier to carry, easier to lift. You feel better throughout the day. You have more energy.
What are some of the benefits for women?
A lot of it's the same. As well as this, speaking from experience with my wife, she has PCOS. It helps regulate a lot of hormone imbalances and things of that nature, especially if you have some back end issues or internalized issues that necessarily other people wouldn't have to deal with.
Now I know a lot of women worry they're going to get bulky when they work out. Does it really make a woman bulky when they work out?
The only way to get bulky when you're working out is to eat like you want to get bulky. The size is 90% diet. If you're hitting the calorie surplus and the protein levels, you're going to get a little bit bigger. But even then, a lot of it plays into genetics. If you're not built box shouldered, you're probably not going to develop box shoulders.
So women don't have to worry about turning into a human cube or a Brock Lesnar type, just jacked big old person.
Correct. Even though, you know, there's something to be said about those shoulders.
Now, I mean, there are some women out there, but those are generally genetically gifted that way, and they have to work to establish that body type.
Correct. And a lot of what we see in, like, social media and, like, professional sports, unfortunately, a lot of those people are also on enhancement, mm-hmm. like performance enhancement drugs to get to that physique, because it is not an easy, and a lot of them are not naturally attainable.
So... what are some of the benefits of strength training for teens? I know you see a lot of tweens and teens, that 12 to 13 year old, start lifting. Like, how can that help them as they progress? And what are the risks of a teenager starting lifting too early?
So science has done a lot of recent changing on this, which has been a fun thing. As someone who is a child development coach for a good 2 years of my career so far, it's been found it no longer stunts growth. So that used to be a big issue is, oh, it's going to mess up the growth plates. It's actually been found to help the growth plates. The biggest risks are just being young and not knowing what you're doing, which even as like a new adult, like if you don't know what you're doing, you're always going to have that risk of doing a lift wrong and potentially hurting yourself. That is, I would say, the number one risk of teenagers lifting at a young age.
So how important is form?
Form, it is... probably the single most important thing, but it's also, again, nuance. Like I always say, there's a 90-10 that you can go with. Like if your form deviates 10%, 99% of the time you're not going to get hurt, but you should be 9 out of every 10 reps should be with proper form.
So proper form. Now, you see these dudes like, I squat 500 pounds. They barely bend their legs when they go down for a squat and stuff. So How do you help develop proper form for a person as they do their lifting?
So it's all about fundamentals. Lighter weights is the biggest way to get to proper form. And there is something to be said for those partial squats. And a lot of it also goes into like, what are you exercising for? Like, do you need to be really good at partial squats because you're an athlete? You need to be explosive. So that makes sense to barely bend your knees on a 500-pound squat. Or are you just doing it for health and you sit at a desk job, so you probably need to get that full range of motion? Now we don't need that 500 pounds unless you just wanted to lift heavy. But lighter weights, really thinking through every step of the move. So for squats, for example, unrack, bracing the core, bringing the hips down 90 degrees and exploding out of the hole and still keeping the core braced through the entire thing.
Now, a lot of people want to just do cardio. Is there a way to do cardio and strength training together, or do you just recommend doing just strength training and no cardio?
I mean, I always recommend mixing the two. You should, if you have the time, the resources, and the desire, always mix them. You can, in theory, do them together. It's going to be more of like wearing weighted vests or like a parachute and things that are a little bit harder to do in a gym setting. But if you're outside running and you put on some ankle weights and a vest, yes, that is a form of strength training, and that will still build the muscle while also taxing that cardio.
Now, you see the Senior Olympics and they have the seniors working out. Is it ever too late to start strength training, like for someone who's in their 60s or 70s?
I would say the only time it's too late is when you're dead.
All right. So that workout routine you talk about, you say you want to go multiple times a week. So how many times should we ideally strength train a week, and how long a rest should you have in between sessions?
A lot of that's going to vary person to person. Science has been all over the place on this. Again, it comes back to genetics, how new you are, how long you've been working out. We typically break down experience levels into like almost 2 to 3 year chunks. So you're still a beginner in your first 3 years. And then like years 3 to 6, now we'd say you're intermediate. And then everything after that, like, okay, you're a seasoned lifter. You're an expert lifter in theory. Of course, you can still be bad at it and do it for 10 years. But you've been lifting long enough, you know your limits. So the correct answer would be whatever you have time for and your body is capable of. So if you need 2 days off of rest because you really hit it at the gym, or you're new and your chest hurts to turn your steering wheel to your car because you just blew up bench press, take that extra day off.
Now, when you get to the gym, we see some people there that go for 2 hours at a time, 3 hours at a time. What is the ideal workout length?
Again, whatever you have time for would be ideal. Like if you only have 20 minutes, make that 20 minutes count. What comes down to an exercise and efficiency has been found to be the intensity level of yourself. So like if I'm doing a HIIT workout, if I'm doing HIIT for an hour, I'm not hitting my high intensity hard enough.
So what's HIIT mean?
High intensity interval training.
High intensity interval training. So what would, would that be just like kind of CrossFit, or what would that be?
CrossFit's more of its own thing, but like HIIT would be, I was trying to think of a Orange Theory is HIIT. Okay. So when people think Orange Theory, that's a HIIT class. It's just intervals of like, let's say you're doing jumping jacks for a minute. Okay. Now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do, you know, push-ups for a minute. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do squats for a minute. And you're just doing intervals of that on and off for short spurts of time.
So when you've got high intensity interval training, what benefits do you get from doing that type of workout? Is that better for losing weight, or is that better for developing fast twitch muscles? What does that benefit?
It would definitely, comparatively, it would help fast twitch muscles more. It's easier to fit into a time constraint. So if you only have 30 minutes and you really feel like you want to get a full body workout in or something like that, it would definitely help on that. And some people, I enjoy HIIT workouts. Like if that's your preferred workout and that's what you can consistently do, by all means, like that is your best workout.
So that for a HIIT workout, that would be like reps for amount of time and then rest for amount of time?
Yeah, you could do it that way. Most people do. So like, a lot of people think about it like when you're doing sprints. If you want to get better at sprints, you sprint for a minute, walk for a minute, sprint for a minute, walk for a minute. You just take that exact same system as I'm going to do max bicep curls for 30 seconds, as heavy as I can do them. Now I'm going to rest for 30 seconds on and off. That would technically be a HIIT workout. That's more of a Tabata, but Tabata falls into HIIT.
All right, what's Tabata?
Tabata, that's not an acronym. That was the guy's last name of the, like, 1 minute on, 1 minute off, 1 minute on, 1 minute off, like, system.
So you see people working out. What type of warm up should you do before you start a workout?
I'm always a big fan of mobility. If you're about to hit chest, you should warm up your back and shoulders as well as your chest. But the best warm up to any move is light repetitions of that move.
So just bar, bench press, like 100 pounds on leg on a squat or bar squat, just do something like that to warm you up.
Yeah. And it's relative, like still do the mobility. You can do a 5 minute walk if that's what you want to do to get the blood pumping. But it's been shown that if you're about to hit bench press, go like 10, 20% of whatever your max is and do a few sets of that, because that's going to hit every single muscle that you're about to be hitting for the heavier lift.
When you do, you say you like to mix the two. Should you do cardio at the beginning of the workout or at the end of the workout?
When I always say do the one you like the least first.
So punish yourself first.
Yeah, I do not like cardio, so I will do cardio first, because after my big heavy lift, I can talk myself out of hitting the treadmill.
I understand. Now, when you talk about crafting a workout for a body, you take into account the back pains and knee pains and stuff. So do you vary your cardio programs with your weight? Like if someone has bad knees, do you try to get them more on the bike, or if a bad back, do you try to put them on elliptical or something else to take pressure off the troubled area?
Always. Yes. From my point of view, I always try and do that. Now, if they're comfortable, I like to not take too much away from my clients. I like them to do what they're going to enjoy the most and do consistently. So if they want to do the treadmill, even knowing they may not have the best knees and they know their limits, and I've been with them long enough to know those limits, cool, we'll work in some treadmill. Otherwise, like starting out, if I know you have bad knees, bad back, and we're working on strengthening those, yeah, we're going to start on the bike if possible, even the recumbent bike if we have to.
Now, you see all these new fitness devices like Fitbit, Apple Watch, Garmin's. Do those accurately measure the calories you burn during a workout?
To a degree. I mean, any metric's better than no metric, but I do believe they have a deviation of up to 30%, if I'm not mistaken.
So typically, with actual numbers, how many calories does someone burn off during a workout? And like, what way can you measure how many calories you burn during a workout?
So I would still recommend a wearable. Just to know that you're getting something. It's going to be off 30%, but you're still going to be relatively in the ballpark. As far as like average calories burned, that again is going to depend a lot on the person. Like I'm 165 pounds. I've been working out for years, so I'm pretty conditioned to doing certain workouts. Whereas someone who may be 50 pounds heavier than me and newer would burn way more calories doing the exact same workout just because their heart's working harder. They're having to burn more calories just to keep up metabolically. Or we're doing, like, if you're hitting arms, shoulders, you're not going to burn nearly as many calories if you're hitting legs, because the muscle groups themselves are just bigger.
So muscle groups, what one should someone focus on the most? Like, should you do multiple leg days since that is such a large muscle group, or should you just do one a week? What approach do you take to that?
A lot of it is dependent on your goals. I always recommend hit everything a minimum of once a week. Like, you never want to neglect something. If you have goals of having a bigger butt, you would want to hit that 2-3 times a week. You may even want to add it into some other days that you don't have it. If you're wanting to work on rehabbing a shoulder, you might want to add in an extra day or some extra sets to that. I'm a big fan. I work out 6 days a week. I'm a big fan of hitting every muscle group twice.
So 6 days a week. So what do you consider muscle group? But would you do chest day, back day, shoulder day, leg day, or would you combine some of those?
So I combine my, I do the old school gym bro split. So like back and biceps, chest and triceps, and then legs, shoulders. A lot of people do a push, pull legs program, which is like all your pushing muscles, all your pulling muscles, and then your legs. That way you split it up. So you're not hitting anything back to back, and you technically are incorporating a rest day for the ones you worked the day before.
Now you going back to the one where you're talking about trying to get you're building up your butt. Now we see a lot of women want to focus on getting a big butt. What type of workouts would you prescribe for someone trying to build a butt?
A lot of hip hinge movements, RDLs or Romanian deadlifts, Bulgarian split squats, anything with like that sounds from that area of the world typically is a good butt exercise in the fitness world. Lunges are also good, step ups, anything that's really focused on that hip hinge and the hamstring and just the glutes.
The glutes. When you see these people with these massive biceps and massive everything, how long does it take to get that big if you try to do it naturally, or will you never be able to attain it without performance enhancing drugs?
Biceps are pretty achievable naturally for anybody. As far as time frame, a lot of that's going to come down to genetics. I'm built like a swimmer. Like, I don't look like I can curl 50 pounds for reps, but I can. But like, my biceps are a leaner build. But anyone can get that. It would just take time. It's like you start seeing results after about 6 weeks. And then after that, the more you do it, the more you got to go. It's just going to come down to that progressive overload. And at that point, also your protein intake.
So how do you build muscle?
So building muscle in it, the definition is breaking it down and building it back up with protein. You want to do sets to failure or just before, and then eat protein to help it recover itself. And that is the act of building muscle in like the most simplistic way.
So when you say almost a failure, does that mean like your arms are burning, you can barely lift them? Or does that mean you're about to drop the weight and kill yourself?
The first one. So if you can do 12 reps pretty easily, you can add more reps or go heavier. Like you want that last rep to be like, if I do one more, I'm going to drop this weight.
Okay. Now, when I know you've got a little nutritionist in you. So what types of proteins are best for building muscle? Plant-based, animal-based, mixture of the two?
A mixture of the two is always good. Always a well-balanced diet. But again, that's going to come down to nuance, your lifestyle choices, your dietary restrictions. Like most of us just want you to have whole foods. So like if you eat meat, whole foods, lean proteins, chickens, you know, even steak, things like that. If you are vegetarian, still follow the legumes, the beans, tofu, even whatever fits in your macros. If you don't have the economic resources or the location resources, that's when I want you to look into adding maybe a protein powder. Maybe we lean more towards peanut butter, things of that nature, just to fill in the gaps.
Is there a specific brand that you trust when it comes to that? Or do you just say, find what works for your budget?
The poor kid in me growing up in poverty wants to say, get what's in your budget, but do your research. Like there's plenty of good brands out there. I'm not sponsored by any of them. I've had First Form. I've had Jim Stepani. I've tried FNX, I've tried the ones from Walmart, and I see pretty similar results in all of them. At that point, it's whatever you like that tastes the best for you. In my opinion, I like desserty ones. So if they don't have a good mint chocolate chip flavor, I'm probably not.
Yeah. Sweet tooth there. Okay. Oh, that's cool.
And that would be my dessert. So when I was doing it and I have a terrible sweet tooth, I'm like, man, it's bulking season. I can make my milkshake, which is my protein shake with whole milk, some fruit, and that mint chocolate chip, and I go to town.
When you talk about the diet aspect, is it possible to outwork a bad diet when you're working out and doing all that, or you really have to watch the diet along with the workout?
you cannot outwork a bad diet. If your goal is losing weight, I would rather you focus on diet. I'm not even going to lie. You can lose the weight without hitting the gym as long as you make the small changes and you care about your diet and you track the macros. If you have certain goals, we also need to cater that diet to. If you want to build muscle and get, you know, bodybuilder physique, we need to eat to fit that.
So do you do nutrition plans as well as strength coordinating, or do you just, how much of a nutritionist background did you do with the ISSA?
So this falls into a very gray area of what state you live in. In Alabama, where I'm from, I cannot do those kinds of things. You have to see a dietitian. I can advise and I can kind of give you a plan, but I cannot like prescribe you or like give you like that full breakdown that a dietitian could. But I have the know-how of like the vitamins, the macros. Like I can steer you in the right direction and like person to person, I could be like, hey, if this is what's in your fridge, let's look at doing this. But I can't go, all right, cool, we're going to meal prep 5 chicken tikka masalas and, you know, 4 pies and 2 omelets. You know, I technically can't do that. I have the knowledge, but in Alabama, I can't do that.
You have to be licensed. So, and we learned from our previous guest about the difference between a difference between nutritionist and a dietitian.
And yes,
we learned all of that from Miss Lee Baxter, who I got to get introduced to you through her.
Yes.
So, yes. You said you're located in Alabama. Do you do in-person training right now?
I can. I'm no longer affiliated with the gym because I did recently get married. So I've gone to a more part-time basis and to a more stable 9-to-5 income, but I am more than happy to, you know, see people at their gym, at their home and do in-person clients.
So how could someone get a hold of you if they wanted to say, Cody Walker, be my trainer?
Coach Cody Walker at gmail.com.
All right. And so, typically what type of workouts do you make for people? Do you devise a 6-week plan, a year long plan, or do you just say, here's a workout plan. Where's that? When you want a new one, come back to me. What do you do?
Depends on your goals. Like if all you need is a 6-week plan, then by all means, that's all I'll give you. I don't like to give more than 12 weeks at a time. That's long enough that you should have made progress. We probably need to adjust the program a little bit somewhere. Come back, see me. We reevaluate, which I always, if you do it for a week or two and you're like, hey, this just ain't working, I can't do this, come to me. I will change it. We will get the plan that works best for you. But it is all about your needs. If you want a 6-week, 12-week, a 12-month, you just want a blanket, here's what you should do when you go to the gym to just live a base healthy lifestyle, we can program it. Just let me know what your needs are. I'll probably send you a questionnaire with like, what are your injuries? What do you like to do? What are you doing? And then we can cater it around there.
So when you started this, what was your goal as being an ISSA certified trainer?
So my fitness journey led me to this. I was working a desk job. I had gained about 80 pounds and I went, all right, this has to change. I don't want to buy new clothes. So I went to the gym, lost a ton of weight. And I went, how do I hold myself accountable and help people achieve the goals I achieved and feel better about themselves? So I dove 100%. I went to ISSA school while I was working, got my certification, quit my job and started working 3 part-time fitness jobs.
Oh, wow.
Dove right into it.
Hustling.
Oh yeah.
3 part-time fitness jobs. You're like me. I got 1 full-time and 2 part-time jobs right now. So I feel you. Cody, thank you very much for joining us today on Highway to Health. One piece of advice for anyone just starting out with strength training, what would it be for them?
A little a day goes a long way.
A little a day goes a long way. And again, if they want
just getting up out of your chair every day, taking a few extra laps around the house, doing like 5 push-ups, whatever it is, a little bit adds up and it gets you in the rhythm.
And if they want to get a hold of you to start a program with you, what is that email address again?
It is coachcodywalker@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram @coachcodywalker. At first glance, you're just going to see my beautiful wife, but the fitness one's after September, since we're about to head out for the honeymoon. After September, it's going to be back to the fitness post. So go ahead and send me that follow and message.
And it's C-O-D-Y, right? You're not a C-O-D-I-E, right?
Nope. C-O-D-Y, Charlie Oscar Delta Yankee.
There you go. Well, Cody, thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Highway to Health. I am David Sears, and I want you to remember to have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.